Welcome, my friends, to the Celebrant Institute Secret Members Podcast. Josh here, and I'm talking to a friend of, well, a friend of mine personally, but also a friend of the show, friend of the Institute, Jackson from Factory Sound in Melbourne, and also from One Heart Video. One Heart, I don't know, what's
Studios.
The brand?
One Heart Studios. Right. We're photo, we're video, and, you know, farm now, but I haven't been back there because of lockdown in Melbourne, sticking it out down in Melbourne.
Beautiful. Well, mate, I'm glad we can have you on the show today. You're my favorite audio guy because you know weddings and you know audio, which is it's a real straddling of divides there.
I've been doing both for a very long time.
A celebrant walks into Factory Sound right now and they're like, I need a PA system. What do you sell them? You've got to get this.
I mean, we ask a few questions. Most of the time we're selling actually the system that you came up with, which is the S1 Pro and the Sennheiser wireless mics.
That's the Bose S1 Pro for those following along at home. S1 Pro.
Yeah, they're just lightweight, they sound really good, and they just kind of work. If the celebrant gets scared off by the fact that it's multiple things, we'll then default back to something like a Micro or a Chiyo. They're unfortunately very easy to use in that they're all in one, so you don't have to worry about, oh, what's this little transmitter that I'm putting in the handle thing? But they don't sound as good.
I wanted to ask because I don't like the Micros and the Chiyos for a few reasons, but one of them is because I don't think they sound good. But I'm not alone in that. You just don't think they sound good?
No, they don't. They don't have the same audio reproduction that you would get from something like the Bose. Bose have spent a lot of money on R&D creating something that sounds really good because it's used for musos, it's used for buskers, it's used across the board. It's not just, you know, a celebrant PA. It's a PA system. Whereas the Micros are a squawk box is what we'd call them. That, you know, they're good at making something very loud so you can hear on the school playground so that at a school sports day, they only need one or two of them. But, you know, at a wedding, you're not having generally that number of people and that distance that you need to cover. So yeah, you need to go as loud.
And there's something about a wedding where you want it to sound human, like kind of intimate, not like you're at a school sports day and the, you know, Mr. Smith, the PE teacher is like, greenhouse, go now. You want it to, a wedding has a bit more humanity to it. You want it to sound a bit human.
Yeah.
Are there other things on the market? The main reason I actually wanted to get you on is because Gail asked about the, do you remember the product? The
new JBL one?
Yeah, JBL One Pro Portable or whatever it is.
Look, I've seen all of those. I, you know, like to keep on top of the other things. The other one that you've got as well, which is the other column battery operated thing that the brand is escaping me right now.
Oh, gosh. Actually, I've completely forgot the name of it. What is it? It's the
LD Systems.
LD Systems. Thank you. Yeah. And so for those, just because I know, Jackson and I know this stuff, but the LD Systems Maui 5 Go is it's got a subwoofer at the bottom, and then you kind of stack two or three speaker kind of columns on top of it. So it's portable and battery operated, but it's not portable like pick it up in one hand. It's kind of like a little bit of a thing. You still need to plug a mic into it. The JBL. Sorry, I can't find the exact...
L1 Compact, I think it is.
One Compact. That's an all-in-one unit like your Bose S1 or your Chiyo or the Micro.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have a built-in mic. So I suppose the three kind of categories is there's the all-in-one, which is your Micro or Chiyo. There's your all-in-one, but you haven't got a mic, which is your Bose S1 and the JBL One Portable Compact.
Yeah.
And then kind of battery-operated portable, not really portable, which is like your Maui 5 Go. And there's a few in that range as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I think for me, the Bose is still the best for the money, for just the ease of use, and it's been proven to work. Like, you've been now using it for 2 years,
yep,
pretty much exclusively. So whenever these new products come out, it actually takes time for, you know, people to use them. People like you, you're generally at the cutting edge of technology to go, no, this is something I actually want to try out and use.
Yeah, yeah. And there's, you know what it is about the, but particularly just the Bose, is every part of it works well. So there's a chapel here on the Gold Coast called Summergrove Chapel, and I had my Bose S1 right at the front, like where a speaker should be positioned, like in the same kind of vector as where I'm standing. And there was the musician was going to be doing sound. Sorry, the musician was going to be doing music, and I didn't realize, but them doing music was them actually just playing off an iPhone. And so he goes, hey, can I just talk into your system? I said, totally, of course you can. And I said, look, I can run a lead for you. And he goes, it's got Bluetooth, hasn't it? I said, oh, yeah, I just wouldn't really use Bluetooth. Like, you know, it's a wedding. It's professional. You know, we just plug it in, mate. He goes, that whole Bluetooth. I'm like, oh, all right, okay, like, if you have to. And so I said, just sit in the front row so you're near the PA system. And the ceremony starts. I look at him. He's at the back of the ceremony. There's a good 150 people between him and the PA system. I'm like, oh my god, this is gonna fail, and it just didn't, mate. Like, it just works.
Yeah. So rock solid. I've done range tests with it, and where the other one that we sell, which is kind of the best of both worlds, except not the best for somebody's wallet, is the LSP 500.
Oh, I've got the LSP 500. I used to have the LSP 500.
You did. That is, you know, the best of the best. It, you know, sounds arguably better than the S1 Pro.
Yeah, 100%.
It definitely goes louder than the S1 Pro. It is also a boat anchor.
And for a fully full of, like, if you've got three receivers in the back, you're paying, what, $6,000 or so, maybe?
$6,000 to $7,000. Yeah. And if you want to, you know, have two of them where you're sending one to the other one, you're looking at $10,000 to $12,000, which is just outside the probably not the spend of a celebrant, but it's hard to justify that kind of money.
Okay. Okay. So someone's buying a PA system today. You're still going to recommend the Bose S1 with a
still going to sell the Bose S1
and the Sennheiser kit, which has the handheld mic and then the kind of do we call it the belt pack receiver? Is that what you're kind of calling it?
It's the belt pack receiver. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think they call it the on camera receiver, but yeah, they're portable receiver. Yeah.
So it's a portable battery operated receiver. Is there a reason Sennheiser over, say, because I know Rode has kind of got a wireless thing, and does Shure have a similar kind of kit?
No, Shure have jumped out of that. Their systems were good, but they just got outsold by the Sennheiser system. So they don't make them anymore. They were based off the old SLX systems, but, you know, nerd talk. The Sennheiser is still the one to go for. The Rode one's good, but it runs in the 2.4 gig frequency range, which is, you know, the same as Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, and it doesn't go through people anywhere near as well as the Sennheiser systems, and it's the reason why, you know, the Sennheiser, the MyPros, the Chios, they actually all use the same kind of technology, which is, you know, based on a radio technology.
Yeah, yeah. So the Rode is like a digital frequency, and like you said, the 2.4 gig, it just doesn't go through people that well.
No, and it's more likely to cut out. I'm not going to say it will cut out, but it's more likely to cut out. And the other reason I like it is because it does have that little external antenna, and when it's sitting on the top of the speaker,
yeah,
it's going to be over people's heads. It's going to have a line of sight.
That was the problem I had. Behringer have got a range of portable PAs, and they have a Bluetooth mic. So Rode runs in the same frequency as Bluetooth, but it's not Bluetooth. It's their own proprietary technology.
Correct.
Whereas the Behringer is like, no, we're just Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. And because the Roland, do you remember the Roland, was it BA
330 or something like that?
Well, no, there's the 330 that doesn't have a built-in mic, but there was a system that had the built-in mic. It was
and
once again, it wasn't Bluetooth, but it was the same. It was 2.4 gig, and it just dropped out too much for me. It killed me.
Yeah, and the other downside to the Behringer, which is why I've never recommended it to a celebrant, is it doesn't have an audio output.
It doesn't have an audio output. Oh my gosh.
does not have an audio output. So for me, being a videographer, I can't sell it in good knowledge that knowing that when I eventually rock up to a wedding with this celebrant, they'll have to tape a microphone to their system.
Okay, well, I want to talk video videographers and weddings in a second, but I've got a bridging question to the second segment. So it's kind of talking about this, but also talking about what we want to talk about. A Celebrant Institute member asked about using the Rode Wireless Go as a lapel mic, but amplifying it through, say, the Bose S1. What's your thought?
Yes, but it's not what that system is designed for. That Wireless Go is a low energy Wi-Fi. So while they claim the numbers, you're not going to get that in the real world. And as soon as somebody goes in between it, you're just going to get dropouts. So it's the same reason I would never sell a 2.4 gig for a critical application like a wedding. It's just not reliable. For a pieces to camera where you're a meter or two from the camera, which is kind of what it's designed for, they're perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
But for anything and the audio more pickup serious,
is beautiful. Like, I think
they're a great sounding mic.
I showed you that video from Queenstown where I was doing a ceremony in the middle of like a cyclone. And the Rode Wireless Go picked up the groom. I had the receiver on the groom's lapel pretty much, and it picked up his voice perfectly and the bride's voice perfectly. Beautiful mic. But when the person asked about amplifying the Rode Wireless Go, I thought, it's just not made for that. It's not made for the wireless transmission and also the microphone, which is kind of bridging into the second question.
Rode have a few different capsules, but they're all based around the same design. So they're, the microphones that they have in their headsets, the microphones that they have in their lapel mics, while they are different, they are all based around the same design. So yes, amplifying is perfect. You can do that.
Okay. All right.
But being a lapel, you're just opening yourself up to feedback that you probably don't need.
Okay.
And feedback for those playing at home is where the microphone hears the speaker, then it goes through another loop, and that's the big screech sound that you get.
Okay. I've done a diagram on the Celebrant Institute before about how feedback works, because it just creates this audio loop, and yeah, it's yucky. Okay, there's three kinds of microphones a celebrant might want to use in a ceremony, and we just talked about one of them, which is your lapel microphone. So your lapel microphone, for those playing along at home, it's the kind of, you'll have it attached to your shirt or to your jacket or like a blouse or whatever, and it's kind of hovers away from your mouth. There's the headset microphone, or some people call it the Madonna microphone, and I like to call it the Madonna microphone because Madonna's the only person that can afford one worth using. And there's your handheld microphone, which is my personal favorite. A celebrant is looking for a PA system. I'm guessing, without putting words in your mouth, you're going to push them down a handheld mic line because that's what you use. But then other options, like how do you kind of navigate those options?
So, I mean, finding out what they want, I mean, at the end of the day, I can sell them something, but if it's not what they're comfortable using, then I haven't done my job as a salesman. So headsets are a perfectly fine microphone, but they do have more feedback issues because of the nature of what they are. So Omni microphones, which is what headsets generally are, pick up as a ball of sound. There's not one direction that they pick up sound best from. They pick up from all directions, whereas a handheld mic generally is a directional microphone. Therefore, if it's pointing at your mouth, it's not picking up from behind it.
What about the headset mics? Because celebrants love a headset mic because it means they're amplified, but the hands are free.
Again, so because you've got the microphone so close to your face, feedback issues for the most part are negated. So I will sell the Sennheiser wireless system because they do the system that comes with a handheld mic, but they also do one that comes with a battery receiver, battery transmitter that we can sell a third-party headset that plugs into it. It's just an extra cost because you generally can't do a wedding without a handheld and a headset. So you're then adding around another $1,000 to the cost because you've got the headset, which is a couple of $100, and then a whole nother wireless system.
I think a friend of yours and mine, Michael Briggs, I think he sent me a photo. I think it was him. If it wasn't Briggs, then someone. But I saw this photo of a celebrant holding, she had a lapel mic on, and she had like taken it off her blouse and was holding it up to the bride and groom for them to exchange their vows. I thought, oh god, that's terrible.
Pretty sure I shot that wedding with him.
Oh yeah, okay, it was you. Yep. God. Okay. So just the final word on microphones. Look, would you prefer a headset over a lapel?
I would always prefer a headset over a lapel. The closer that you can get the microphone to the sound source, the better it's going to be.
Okay. And in lapels, what should people buy or not buy? Oh, sorry. Okay, I'll reword that. In headsets, what should people buy or not buy?
There's no... In today's world of electronics, brands don't really survive if they're producing a product that isn't good.
Okay, so buy a Behringer.
The thing is, they hit a price point and they work.
Yeah, okay. Like, that was a joke for everyone listening. That's a crap brand.
They've got their place in the market, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, anything that we sell here at Factory Sound is something that's of a reliable professional quality that, you know, we have no problem selling out to hire companies that use these in, you know, school productions. And while, yes, kids tend to break things and they've got parts that can be replaced and, yeah.
Okay.
So I think the one that we've been selling is a JAG headset, which is actually made in Australia.
Okay, cool. I just remembered I had a question from Seller about PA systems that I'll quickly ask before I move into videographer stuff. Portable PA systems usually by definition have a battery, either that or they're powered by God or the sun or something. or God forbid you're holding a power lead out to it, in which case it's probably not a portable PA.
Generator behind the tree.
Oh God, I've seen that too many times on musos. I'm like, just get a portable PA system. Get a Bose S1. Anyway, okay. So just say my Bose S1s, like the current ones I've got, they'd be kind of coming towards the 12-month mark. I reckon I probably got them off you about 12 months ago.
Yeah.
What's your advice to celebrants generally on battery replacement and battery maintenance for PAs?
So, I mean, it differs from product to product. So some of the MyPros, they use like lead acid batteries. So they do have a maintenance schedule that you need to be charging them up every, you know, 6 to 8 weeks and letting them run down. Otherwise, it's actually going to run down completely and goodbye battery. Ones like the Bose that have smart charging in them and like smart battery management systems, they actually will run the battery down to 50% and that's their holding pattern. And so they can stay on that 50% charge for, you know, 6-12 months without issue. But I'm expecting at the end of this lockdown that we're going to have a few people needing to replace some batteries because they haven't done battery maintenance.
Yeah. So if you haven't been kind of powering and running down and charging up your PA over lockdown, that's a thing, yeah. That's a real point.
It is a thing. And it's a thing people don't think about. And it's every I hate to say it, start of the season, we get a flood of celebrants saying, oh, my MyPro, like, lasts 10 minutes. I was like, well, did you charge it over the 6 months of winter at all? It's like, no, we just left it. It's like, but I did this last year. I'm like, yeah, but then you left it again.
Okay. So my Bose S1 batteries are 12-ish months old. Well, should I replace at some point?
I would only ever replace a battery when you're starting to notice significant degradation. So if, you know, it was lasting 6 or 8 hours and now it's lasting 2 to 4 hours, it's probably time to think about replacing it. But if it's still lasting, you know, 70 to 80% of its original lifespan, then I don't see a need to.
Okay, cool. One more question on the Bose S1 that I cannot find right now. That's right. Sorry, I just gone through emails trying to find emails from celebrants. There's the power switch on the Bose S1, mm-hmm. on off, but there's the third option.
Yep.
Quick charge. What's the difference between quick charge and charge, apart from the completely literal answer, which means one is quicker than the other?
So quick charge is great, except that it does shorten the overall life of the battery.
Ah, rightio.
So in same as like a phone, where you can put a higher power charge into it and get it, you know, up to 80% really, really quickly, that has like long-term effects on the battery life where, you know, 12, 18 months down the line, the battery's not lasting as long because you've done that quick charge as long. Batteries don't like to a lot of power thrown into them as quickly as possible. They respond to trickle charge.
Yeah, they're like a slow dance. They don't want to go techno. They don't want to doof doof.
Yeah. It's the same reason why Tesla say don't supercharge your car too often if you can avoid it.
Right. Okay. Cool. Okay. I think that's all the PA stuff. Is there any PA stuff that you want to talk to Celerants about before we talk to videography stuff?
Not really. Just don't be afraid of them. They're not something to be afraid of. Like a lot of Celerants go, I don't even know where to start. They're not that hard. Play around with them. One thing I will say, especially about the Sennheiser systems, is there's some mystery around how the frequencies work. That's why we're here. We can talk you through all of that issues because there are so many different frequency bands and things like that that work in different parts of Australia. But if you just talk to us, we'll go, okay, this is where you're using it. We'll suggest the best frequency for that area.
Yeah, yeah. And actually on that note, when my, so I don't know if you remember, but my Sennheiser LSP500, when that was written off, cause I was in a car crash, someone smashing the back of me right off the LSP500, which eventually led me on the path to the Bose S1. But that weekend I had a wedding in Townsville and I've never done a wedding in Townsville before. And I borrowed a friend's LSP500 and took it. So I'd always been on the Sennheiser
range. The 1G8. On the 1G8 with your LSP500.
Yeah, yeah. And he was on a different frequency range, which I can't remember. And so I get to the wedding, set it up, turn everything on, mic test, everything sounds great, and I switch off the microphone, at which point the receiver then it loses...
Picked up the local TV station.
Well, it just picked up white noise, just the pure white noise. It killed, and I... Luckily, I was of smart enough mind to go, okay, if I turn the mic on, then my transmission source is closer than whatever the TV antenna is. So thus, I kind of overpower the TV.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and so I just had to remember, don't turn my mic off, just mute it instead. So it's good to talk frequencies to a nerd like Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay, mate, videographer. So you're a videographer, you turn up to a wedding. This could be a 5-hour conversation to where the horrors that Celebrants have put you into. What are you looking for from a celebrant? Like you're a videographer, you're doing the wedding, the celebrant comes and says, hi, I'm Josh the celebrant. What do you want from me?
What do I want from you? I want a clean output. So an output from the system. So that's, again, back to why I don't suggest the Behringer system. And I just want to know that, you know, say during the vows, you're going to hand them the mic that, you know, not only everybody in the crowd can hear, but it means that I can then have a backup to my lapel that I'm putting on the groom. And that's kind of it. Like, I'll ask the question, like, are you standing in between the couple or are you standing off to the side? If you're standing off to the side, which side? But we're pretty easy when it comes to that type of stuff. We just, you know, roll with the punches.
Yeah, good. Because it's, you've kind of got to at a wedding. Like, that's the whole skill with a wedding is that, particularly from a video and photo point of view, and particularly at a ceremony, you're just turning up and you've got to be able to fight whatever fight you've got to fight. You know, like, wherever the light is, wherever the sun is, wherever the people are, you've got to make some art. Wherever the rain is, yeah. This is a personal question for me, because if you guys do a wedding with me, which you have before, yes, you can take a line out of my PA. Yes, you can lapel everyone up, but I'll also hand you a little bell pack receiver, which I've got for the videographer. Is that a blessing? Are you like, cool, that's good?
I absolutely love that, and I do that anyway. So I think you're in the absolute minority. Nobody does that. But yeah. from my setup, I have that exact same thing. So from my recorder, I've got a wireless system that beams back to our back camera so that if, you know, all hell goes, everything breaks down, we've still got that master file that has at least the ceremony. So we can, you know, we're not completely screwed. Backups upon backups upon backups is our, you know, ethos. It's why we have, you know, we rock up with probably too many cameras, but it means that if a camera dies, we pick up another one and start shooting.
Cool. So aside from audio, well, actually, no, actually, let's talk about audio one more thing, because I know this, but I feel like a lot of people don't know this. Can you, the videographer, interfere with the celebrant's PA system? Because that's the thing. People have talked about the wedding was going great until the videographer turned up and wrecked my PA.
So the answer to that is yes and no. Unfortunately. Yes. So, I mean, some of the older MyPro systems had two outputs, one of which was a line level output that is what we take out from for our recorders and for our recording sit. The other one is like a speaker level output. And that, if you plug into that as a videographer and don't know what you're doing, can both damage your recorder and the celebrant's system. So yes, there are things that they can do to damage it. But, you know, and that's why I love having this job as well as being a videographer, is because I love training people. So every videographer that I come across, you know, out in the field, it's having that conversation with celebrants. My favorite was I sold a PA to a celebrant. This was back in the early days, and then came across her at a wedding probably 6 to 12 months later. And she's like, oh no, you can't plug into my system. Like it damages it. I'm like, I sold the PA to you. I think I'm pretty good at knowing what goes on with them. And that's happened, unfortunately, more than once. But yeah, it's the training. And whenever, if you in person buy a PA from me, I will talk you through that, and I'll show you if it's the MyPro, this is the output to use. This is the only output. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So audio aside, what are you looking for from a celebrant? Like, just so not audio related, but like positioning. Like for example, I love to stand between the couple, like kind of in the middle, because it feels like a natural place to have a conversation. And when it comes to the vows, I'll do my darndest to try and convince the couple to hold the microphone so I can step out of camera shot. And for the kiss and things like that, I'll try and step out of shot and try and do it naturally and whatnot. But like, is there anything that's kind of on your mind? Like, oh, celebrants are always doing this. Don't do that.
The only thing is, yes, when the celebrant, you know, stands in between the couple while they're doing their vows, because that moment isn't about you, it's about the couple.
Yeah.
We've had a celebrant hold the couple's hand while they're doing their vows.
No, they haven't. You're lying.
Yeah,
you're
I'm
lying.
Not lying.
Oh, God. That's the creepiest thing I've heard all week.
It was annoying, and the couple were standing probably 2 meters apart from each other, and it's like, maybe they should be. Anyway, doesn't matter. Not my place to judge. But yeah, like letting the couple have that moment. I personally like it when celebrants stand to the side, but that's not my job. It's not my job to tell the celebrant where to stand and what to do. It's, you know, they've generally come up with that with the couple, and it's what the couple want. At the end of the day, we're providing a service to the couple. What we want actually doesn't matter.
Yeah, cool. Mate, this has been a really, really good and hopefully for everyone listening, a really, really informative chat. I want to clarify that we've got no relationship. Well, Josh and Sarah and the Celebrant Institute, we have no relationships with any of the brands and nothing formal with Factory Sound. I just love recommending to people to you guys because it means they get good gear and it works out. So, mate, I appreciate your help today. And do you just want to give a shout out for how people can get in touch with you and talk audio?
Yeah, just, I mean, email sales@factorysound.com. That's where we, you know, sell everything from. If you want to call us, our number is 03-99-22-1000. I'm here at the moment full time. During wedding season, I drop back to about 3 days a week. But all of the boys here like know this stuff inside and out. We've been doing all of the people that work here are in the audio industry and have been in the audio industry for a long time.
Awesome. Thanks, bro. Thanks for joining us.
Have a great day.